possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It is Tuesday, 3 o'clock. Elliot Shore Parks joins us for Tuesdays with Elliot. Hello, Elliot.
What's up? How you guys doing?
So Elliot came from training camp.
Mm-hmm. I did.
And Elliot, let me ask you something before we get into what you saw at training camp.
Please do.
You've been at training camp every day, right?
I have.
Have you seen the WIP Morning Show at training camp interviewing players?
Yeah, I have, yeah.
Okay. Have you seen the WIP Midday Show at training camp interviewing players?
Yeah, they get a lot of players.
Now, let me ask you this. You're on with us all the time, right?
Correct.
And we like to think of ourselves as the big dogs at the station, whatever.
I can tell.
How many times have you seen the WIP Afternoon Show at Eagles training camp the year after they win the Super Bowl interviewing players?
That'd be zero.
Okay.
I don't even know if I saw you there last year.
In fact, we did not.
Interesting. Good point, Elliot.
Now, let me ask you this. It's not us, right? Because we don't schedule when we're there. We leave that to somebody else. So whose fault do you think that is? Do you want me to answer it for
you?
I don't
like
want to put you in a bad position.
Me. Yeah, go ahead.
It is the program director, Rod Lakin of WIP. And if Rod has till next Wednesday, right? That's when camp goes until? The 20th?
Yep, yeah, so five more days.
If Rod does not get us to training camp before the 20th, we will give out, or I will take responsibility for this, I will give out his cell phone number, his personal cell phone number on air. So you can, if Rod hasn't heard this warning, I don't know if he has, he hasn't mentioned it to me, you can email him at rod.lakin@audacy.com. By the way, that is audacy.com, and you should tell him that we should be there or the hammer's coming down.
Yeah, I mean, I thought you guys would drop this after last week. Nope. So the fact that you brought it back up tells me you're not playing around.
Here's
what I would say, though.
Yes.
By 2 o'clock, it's dead there.
That's fine. Have us there early. We record the interviews.
Okay, well, that's fair.
We all get up early.
So you don't want to do the show from 2 to 6.
I don't care if we're there. Nothing's happening.
That doesn't seem like it'd be very fun.
No. Yeah. I don't need to be in the RV or whatever. I mean,
right.
God bless it, whatever. But if there was something going on, fine. What I'm saying is that, like, we all get up early, right?
I'm a
6:30 a.m. guy.
Maybe you guys could do the morning show one time.
I don't want to do the morning
show. You do 6 to 10, they do 2 to 6.
No, I want to do our show.
You want to be there so bad.
Yeah.
That'd be a good way to get you guys down.
I want to do
it. Be there for practice.
Rod didn't suggest
this. Yeah, if I was Rod, this is the angle I'd pull.
I don't need their ratings going up for us doing the show there in the morning. Anyway.
You do Beat the Hammer?
Yes. Anyway, I wouldn't be good at Beat the Hammer. Well,
me
if I had
either,
a producer
yeah.
who handpicked the questions to make sure I knew them, maybe then I'd be, this week,
man.
Yeah, like maybe I'd win Beat the Hammer too.
Yeah,
you know, maybe I'd win Beat the Hammer too if I get the, okay. All right,
all right,
all right.
Day 13 of training camp.
Yeah,
yeah.
So welcome, Elliot.
Welcome.
We got pretty good news about Landon Dickerson yesterday. However, in the meantime, until he comes back, we hope he will be back for game one. Now, of course, he has to heal and he has to get back in shape because those guys, you know, when you're 300 some pounds,
yeah,
I would imagine your cardio goes down a little bit too.
That's kind of where I'm at with it. I understand the feeling or the sigh of relief yesterday because there was legitimate worry he'd be out for the entire season. I was there when the injury happened. Players looked upset. He looked in serious pain. I completely understand the fear that he might have been out for the year. But I still think we should be very worried about Landon Dickerson. Whenever you're that big and you have surgery on your legs at the beginning of the season, that's a really bad thing, in my opinion. In my years covering the team, I've seen great players, Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham, offensive linemen, that miss training camp and then just struggle to get going throughout the year. Obviously, Landon is a better player than Jordan Davis. But 2 years ago, we saw Jordan Davis in season miss a bunch of weeks. I think it was with an ankle injury. And he never got back in the shape he was prior. So Landon, the timing isn't terrible because they still have less than a month until week one. My concern would be, as tough as Landon's going to work, and I'm sure I've seen him play through a lot of injuries, it's just really hard when your leg is bothering you during the year to heal up. It's just you're playing every week, you're practicing during the week, you don't get that extended time to rest. So I am worried about the Landon Dickerson situation, and maybe he'll be the player he always is, but I think it's a tall order in front of him.
So have we gotten a final word on exactly
yes.
what it is and the timetable, and also what's the next step and what's going to happen?
So my understanding is, And, you know, this is, again, where Dr. Joel Spike could step in here. But
oh, yeah, dude, you got more. He's a meniscus guy.
I can do it if you want. But there's two different versions of meniscus surgery. One, he would have been out for the year. The other one, it's a multi-week injury.
Yes.
Now, the way I understand it is they are not ruling him out for week one, which obviously implies that he is getting the lesser of the two procedures.
Yeah, he is getting a knee surgery, but it is there's no way it's a meniscus repair.
Otherwise, he would be out.
Yeah, a debridement, what they do is, so when the meniscus tears, you can either go in and the part that's torn, you can just sort of shave it off and then just let the knee heal. And then you can come back earlier, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, whatever. And then if you repair it, is what Jared McCain had last year, you have to stay off your leg basically for 2 months. So he wouldn't... It has to be the first one,
or else he wouldn't be coming back.
But to your point, there is like...
It's just hard. I mean, even with hamstring injuries, like forget the knee surgery part of it. When a player has a hamstring injury in season, it's just really hard to get back to 100% because the games don't stop. So, you know, we'll see. They know more, obviously, about where Landon's at health-wise. I wouldn't mind just waiting till the bye. Like, give this guy a time to feel one... Because it's week five, isn't it? The bye week?
Like week nine.
Oh, yeah,
right?
You're right. I'm thinking of last year. My apologies. Okay. But
don't
point
you cover the team?
Yeah, my bad. The point I'm making is I am just worried about Landon recovering from this. Well, I think the timing is tough.
Do you think what they will do? So who was in there for him today?
So that's the other thing. So going to practice today, I felt the true indicator of how they felt about Landon's health would show itself in how they lined up on the offensive line. If they were just being optimistic, but they really think he's going to be out a while, I think we would have seen Tyler Steen move to the left side of the line and put Matt Pryor in at right guard. That's not what they did. They had Steen at his normal spot on the right side next to Lane, and then they had Brett Toth next to Jordan Mailata.
Hold on, man.
Yeah, come on.
Didn't Brett Toth just get into it with somebody?
BLG.
I was
going to
say, Brett Toth, he listens in here. So that was Jack Fritz at Jack Fritz that made that audio noise.
Jack Fritz WIP.
Exactly, at Jack Fritz WIP.
Oh, didn't Brandon Lee Gowton say like the wrong guy or something?
Yeah, I know something happened,
Fake news BLG had him having a bad snap.
I will say, in Brandon's defense, Brett Toth has struggled at snapping. So I would understand why he would think that. But regardless.
All right, don't get on Brett Toth's list now.
Yeah. Is he the new Julian Vandervelde?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about him.
Brett Toth's been an Eagle for 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so, you know, I kind of think if it's not his turn now, when will it ever be his turn? I'm not saying that's how they can make this decision, but if you look at the left guard spot, and so presumably they view this as a short-term thing, which means they're not going to make big changes to the line that would take a full year. So if it's going to not be Brett Toth, you could try Matt Pryor there. He's played predominantly on the right side in his career, and he's played predominantly at right guard over the past few years. Kenyon Green, the guy they traded for Chauncey, A, I don't think has been impressive, but B,
he's been hurt
week to week with a shoulder injury.
Yeah.
But you want to talk about the golden opportunity for him. I mean,
that dude don't want to play no football. Man.
Yeah, I think they view that as a bigger rehabilitation project than maybe they thought. It's not going to be him. I can't imagine it'll be Brett Toth, but maybe it just will be Brett Toth if he's not ready. So
hopefully it's only for one game.
Hopefully.
Because you get a 10-day rest after that. Because it's on Thursday.
I wonder, too, if this might be one of those things where they see how it goes, and if Toth is playing well, then they're able to rush him back. They're able to give him another week or two.
I know that's realistically how the decision will be made, but, man, to rush him back, I just feel like sets off a year long of he's not practicing Wednesday, Friday he's questionable, Sunday he plays half the snaps. Like, just a long thing of he's not 100%. That's my concern. And he's critically important. Like, the offensive line, I think, is the heartbeat of the team. I think they are good because of the offensive line. And I think Landon, I mean, we did players' lounge shows with him last year. He's a huge part of that team. He's vocal. He's a leader. He breaks down the huddle before games. I think it's important.
We missed that.
I know.
I'm serious.
Yeah, the tape.
Man, are you kidding me? Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, Brandon did it when he was out all year, so who knows? Maybe Landon will have more time on his hand now. But even just little things, like he talks after games. When things are bad at the facility, he talks about it. So he's really important. I know it's not like he's going to be out of the building, but it's just harder to be that guy when you're in the rehab room. You're not out on the field. So he's super, super important.
So
I've always said, guards are very important.
Well, here is my devil's advocate, because I would agree with everything you said. He's a great player. And if there was no difference between him and another, you know, somebody called up yesterday and they were like, come on, we trust Stoutland U. And I was like, well, they chose to pay this guy $25 million a year because he's better than
there's this misconception, like, Stoutland's great offensive line coach. Lane was a first-round pick. Cam was a second-round pick. Landon was a second-round pick. Steen was either the last pick of the second round or the third first pick of the third. I can't remember. Like, they have talent.
By the way, Mekhi Becton was the seventh pick in the draft.
They paid him money. So,
and Mailata wasn't, but he's obviously a super talented guy.
He's an outlier. So Stoutland does an awesome job, but let's not act like they've been using late-round picks for years and been getting away with it.
But I would
But he did turn Becton from a bust into a star right guard.
For sure. Becton was a top 10 pick.
He was still
for
a talented
reason,
guy.
Just physically, yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, he has to be. I mean, the size is his athleticism.
No, this is pretty simple. Yeah, was he a top 10 pick?
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Yes.
Yeah. Hi, there you go.
So, he might not have had dog in him. Comes here and gets some dog in
Chance
him.
Chance Womack was a top 10
pick. Stoutland's a great coach. I agree with you.
It sounds like you're discrediting
he has
a lot of talent, and all of a sudden, you know, it seems like.
Well, it's the same thing with Vic. It's the same thing. We do the same thing with Fangio.
Right.
Is they still need players. But, okay, but here is my other thing.
Yes.
Is that it is one guard on the offensive line. And, what I would say is, to another extent, would be if they cannot handle the loss of a guard on the offensive line, there were huge that Chiefs offensive line last year was put together with duct tape and glue.
Right.
And, then we lose somebody. Who do we lose in the NFC champion? Then we lose
Landon.
Cam came back.
So I understand that he's important, but like, if they lose a guard and they can't score or they can't run the ball because they lost a guard, all of a sudden I'm looking at all the other guys on the offensive line. I'm like, well, how good are you?
I mostly do agree with you.
Okay.
But I will say, again, from doing the Players Lounge show with these guys, like the importance they all say about if one person's offbeat on that line, how much it messes everything up, does have me feeling not as confident as you do that they can just get away with replacing a guard. And you bring up the Chiefs offensive line, how they had to put it together. Look at that offensive line in the Super Bowl.
I'd be more concerned just about the chemistry between Jordan Landon over there.
That's something Jordan has talked about a lot. How comfortable he feels playing next to Landon because of all the snaps he's had. So
Who was the guy Jason Peters hated lined up next to him?
Was it Wisniewski?
Yes.
Yeah.
And Lane didn't want to move off of Brandon Brooks either. They were very, very close.
Yeah.
So I think it could throw off everything if he's out for a while. Is Jordan playing as well? Is Cam playing as well? Is the timing right? Because ultimately they will be as good as their offensive line. Their offensive line is critically important. It makes the run game work. It makes the pass game work. I think it's the most important unit on the team besides obviously the one player, which is the quarterback. But they have to have a great offensive line. Otherwise, the season's not going to go where anyone wants it to go. And if you lose one guard, I get your point. It's just one guard. But if it throws everything out of sync, that's a massive deal.
Well, and by the way, they're thin on offensive line this year.
And we don't even know if Steen's good.
Yes,
right?
I would agree. Yeah, well, I mean, they're thin on offensive line this year. And part of that is their decision to pay everybody like they've paid them.
And not pay Becton.
And not pay Becton. Yep. And not pay. So, this is, this is a choice they made. All right. So, coming up next, we will find out how Jalen looked today, how the offense looked.
Yes.
And Jack brought up a potential idea as to why the defense has sort of gotten the better of the offense so far this year. I want
to
run that
by.
Let me hear his thoughts.
Yeah. Wait for this breakdown.
He calls one practice. All of a sudden, he's ready to break down 13 days.
Your eye test is full of it.
Yeah.
That is coming up next. 215-592-9494. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's Tuesday in the 3 o'clock hour. It means Tuesdays with Elliot. Elliot Shore Parks is here. The Twitter question is brought to you by Marks Jewelers. For a one-of-a-kind experience that makes diamond buying less stressful, visit the home team at Marks, online at marks-jewelers.com.
So you can dance. You always say you can't dance. Look at you.
I have rhythm.
Yeah, well, you don't dance at weddings.
Because I don't like dancing in front of people.
You were good at it.
Yeah.
Everything is hard.
No problem.
Well, when Gilly came in, we all had to do the dance.
That was good.
I was able to show.
Let's not bring that video.
Wow.
You and Lakin, just one of the most disastrous performances
Jack
of all time.
Jack was in a tough spot, yep. I will say, but yeah.
I was on the corner, which makes me at least 10 pounds heavier.
I mean,
you were right center.
You were stiffer than taking several Blue Chews in that dance.
Nick Saban used to kill me by how stiff I was.
So the Twitter question, who would be your NBA player comp, past or present, for Jalen Hurts?
Jimmy Butler.
No. So, well, Jimmy Butler is the first one. Easily Jimmy Butler, good in the regular season, but awesome in the playoffs. Two people then say Jason Tatum.
That's who I was going to say.
And he's better than Jalen.
Yeah, but I think the similarity is Tatum gets no credit for the winning.
That's true.
Like Tatum probably should be viewed as a top five-ish guy.
Yes.
But he never is because everyone's like, well, the roster's so loaded, he has Jalen Brown. I think that's the comparison to Jalen.
You'll like this one, Ike. Magic Johnson.
Oh, Magic? Just dropping dimes?
Can I say, Magic, the perception of Magic is going to make me sound like an old guy.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Like, for the first time.
Well, it's dropping because people didn't watch how good he was. Mm. He was outstanding, Magic Johnson. This isn't just about the Jalen thing, but I think people just think about the fact that he wasn't a scorer and wasn't really a shooter. Mm-hmm. He was still really good at scoring.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but wouldn't he be in the top 10 of most people's list, like all time?
Yes. Yeah, but when you start talking about, I would say people younger than 40, I don't think they have the same.
Well, he couldn't shoot, all that stuff.
And the next one.
Also, I'll use Tragic Johnson. Want to bring up the nicknames?
I'll give you a couple more here. Tim Duncan. All right.
I think that's a personality thing.
Yeah.
They're going
for. And then Iguodala.
Now that's making more sense.
You're the Iggy guy. Iggy's a Hall of Famer in your eyes.
Saying Iggy on the Warriors?
I think Iggy is a Hall of Famer. Here would be the comparisons, is that when Iggy was asked to do more, his teams weren't as good.
Correct.
When Iggy was able to concentrate, now it's different because basketball players play defense and NFL player, and a quarterback doesn't. When he could just focus on what he was good at, then he became an even better player. He did win Finals MVP. Now, he probably shouldn't have won it, but he did win it.
Mm. Yeah, so did someone else.
That was Steph's MVP.
Yeah. What's that? Yeah, but
that
he still won it.
Yeah.
He still won it. So Iguodala's not a bad one, I guess, in that Iguodala finally found Jalen didn't have to go through 7 years of people saying, throw it 40 times a game, which is what the first part of Iguodala's career was. He was miscast as a primary scorer. Yeah, right. It's not a bad one.
I also think the difference is now that Iguodala's career is over, we know he wasn't able to do that. Yes. We don't know if Jalen can do it yet. So right now, I get your point.
But yes.
Yeah, I think that's one difference.
So here is, it was just a thought that Jack had. I'm bringing this up on the air. We didn't talk about bringing it up, but
God.
He just asked me the question. I don't think you're going to roll your eyes at it.
Right.
So you would agree, Elliot, so far at camp this year, that the defense has outplayed the offense more than you would expect to in a training camp.
I would. Yes.
Because in training camp, the offense sort of has the advantage
certainly,
in that you can't hit them and all that sort of stuff.
Easy completions.
And they got $100 million over there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Talent. That you're not allowed to hit.
Yeah. Well, no, I just mean all those talented players on that side of the ball.
Yes. And the offense has been, I think, a little disappointing during training camp, especially considering what you would hope to see.
Whoa.
The question that Jack asked was, we have one of the greatest defensive coordinators of all time on one side of the field, and on the other side of the field, we have a first-time offensive coordinator. Is it possible that part of the what we're seeing in the offense struggling is we have a Hall of Fame defensive coordinator against a first-time offensive coordinator on the other side?
So
is there a possibility of that?
I lean no, pretty firmly. And the reason I would say that is I think there are some areas you could point to it. Like Vic Fangio is a better coach in terms of he has more experience doing it. So I could see the defense being in the right place more often. I could picture them being, more, I can't think of the word, but not as making many mental errors on that side of the ball. Whereas on offense, they're a bit younger with the coach. But the reason I would say no is because there's no game planning involved. Like, Petullo is not going... Like, when Petullo calls a play for the offense, he's just calling it. He's not looking at what the defense is doing and calling based off that. So a lot of times he could call something where in a game, that fit that the defense is giving them or showing them, he would never call that play against that defense. And vice versa, right? Like, Vic is mostly, now Vic's a little more dependent on the offense because he's the one that sends out a nickel and like all that stuff based off what formation the offense is using. But I think that, well, obviously Fangio is a better coordinator at this point than Petullo. I don't think that's the reason in practice that they've had to better the offense.
What is it?
I think it's a couple things. One, I think the defensive line has been really good. Like, they're constantly getting pressure on Jalen. I also think there's probably been 5 or 6 throws that if Jalen makes them or if they're completed, we're viewing this differently. Like, I don't view it that, you know, 90% of the snaps the defense is getting better of the offense. I think there's been moments where if there are completions, and we're only talking about a small percentage of plays, those are just big throws that could change things, like deep throws that are incomplete, deep throws where there's pass interference, you know, third down throws, red zone throws, like things like that, where if things were different, we would view it differently.
So is Jalen having a great camp or not?
I don't think Jalen's having a great camp, no.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm trying to get down to.
I don't think he's having a bad camp. But
I was going to say, you've been on here and you argue with Spike about it.
No, he had a good day today. You know, okay. 8 for 8. I gave him an A. He had 2 or 3.
Was it a walkthrough today?
They barely practiced today. Yeah. Yeah. It was only an hour. Well, yeah. They got 2 days coming up against the...
You charting throws? Like, what were they out there in? T-shirts and shorts?
Yeah, they didn't even have shells on. So it was just
So this was just a day for you to give him an A.
Well, he was 8 for 8. I don't know much better he could have been.
But wouldn't you hope he'd be 8 for 8 if no one's even in shells?
We could dive into the throws deeper if you would like, but there were a few nice throws in. Yeah, exactly. It would take 2 minutes.
Could I ask your honest assessment? Now, this
doesn't. That's all I ever give you.
Yeah, now, this doesn't matter because it isn't. But if it were Jalen Hurts' first training camp with the Eagles, it's not. We already have a body of work. But if it were, would you be concerned about the offense this season, given what you've seen in camp?
If this was the first time I'd ever seen Jalen practice with the Eagles and he had no back history, yes. I think he has missed throws that are open. I think he holds onto the ball a little much. But this is why this all requires context. Like, when you have won the Super Bowl, you get a little more of a leash in practice for me not freaking out.
For sure. But and this goes back to what I've said during these, and this isn't a debate thing. It is I'm just honestly asking your opinion. Yeah. Is you were very high on the high completion percentage, never touching the ground, and that isn't what we've seen.
I agree. That's why I'm saying I don't think he's having a great camp.
And then the other thing that I sort of
for a great year.
But you better hope he doesn't have a great year, because then it means that the training camp stats.
Well, the training camp stats were validated last year when
they were
100% validated last year.
No, they weren't.
He set a franchise record for fewest interceptions in training camp, and then he went out and set a
and then turned the ball over a million times in the first 4 weeks.
Exactly. Big news, they played more than 4 games. So all year, he had the fewest amount of turnovers he's ever had. So they were completely validated. But these next 2 days are really big days. Like, the Cleveland Browns joint practices.
Live defense.
This will decide probably what his camp is remembered as.
Okay. Yeah. And if he...
So next week doesn't matter?
It matters, but I think these next 2 days matter a lot more. Now,
I'm just asking because he's not going to play Saturday.
No, he's not going to play Saturday. And then I think they have 2 practices between that and the Jets. But I would imagine that'll be a lot of backups because all the backups play against the Jets. Like, Jalen has been awesome in these joint practices. He's 9-2 over the 5 years.
Joint practice win loss is the original training camp
now,
stats.
The Cleveland Browns did beat him. So you wonder if revenge is on the mind here.
Who else beat him?
The Dolphins.
Was it the Dolphins?
Yeah, the Dolphins and the Browns. I mean, he started, I think, 5-0. And then the Dolphins got him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was that Vic?
Yeah.
Vic Fangio?
Yeah.
Oh, I keep thinking you're saying Michael Vick. No.
Okay.
Yeah.
That might have been.
Yeah.
Was that
2 years?
Was that 2 years ago that they were down
there? I thought he was only there 1 year.
Only there 1 year, but was it 2 years ago that they were down there?
I have them written down right here because I got my graphic ready for...
The other question I had is almost like, you said they're running the ball a lot in camp.
The Dolphins was 2022.
Okay.
They went 2-1 that year.
No, because he was here as a consultant in 22, so he would not have been there.
But he was here as a consultant at the end of 2022, right?
Yeah, but he's a defensive coordinator for the Dolphins 23.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah. So the other thing I wonder, you said they've been running the ball a lot in training camp.
A ton.
That's just like weird to me.
Same.
Because, I
agree.
Well, we're a running team.
Well, but here's my thought.
Yeah.
Is I'm like, well,
why are we running Saquon?
Well, yeah. How many different ways can they run the ball? 5? You know, like,
if I can't tackle them, it just feels like a wasted rep to me. Now, I know you're practicing because the offensive line needs
wasted rep.
it just feels like less of a real rep because you can't tackle Saquon. But where it's not a wasted rep is the offensive line, the guards included, need to be on the same page.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
When they practice. But in terms of how much they're running the ball, you're right. Saquon, I have the stat here, but take me a second to pull it up. But he had 51 carries through 11 practices, which was more than he had all of last training camp combined. So they are without question giving the ball to Saquon more in camp than they did last year.
The thing, and to go back just to finish up on the thing that Jack had asked, is like, you know, I didn't mind the hire of Petullo. As if we can go back to those shows, the thing that I was angry about is they didn't interview anybody. Is like, I just started thinking, are we really going to go try to win the Super Bowl with a first-time offensive coordinator?
Yeah.
And like, boy, oh boy.
I agree.
I mean, that is, Nick has really put his neck on the line for Petullo here.
Yeah, I was concerned about the Petullo hire. And now he will tell you he's called plays because he's involved in the play calling process and he did call plays last year.
It's different when you're the guy.
I agree. That's what they would tell you. Yeah. But I like Petullo as a coach. I think if another team asked me, like, Elliot, should we hire Petullo as the head coach? I'd say, yeah, I think he'd be a good head coach. But
What
do you mean?
He hasn't done anything. What are you talking about?
Because
his press conferences?
No. Well, he's been Nick's right-hand man through the best stretch of franchise history.
What?
Keffer was my right-hand man. Would you have hired him to be a program idiot?
But then he went to live in the mountains or wherever he is now. But, like, what do you mean he hasn't done anything?
Tell an NFL team to hire him by doing it with what?
As the head coach?
Can I explain why? Because, he's...
Actually, hold on to that. Okay. But you will explain right after we talk about
Stiffy.
Yeah. Well,
there it is.
You know,
everything is hard.
When Elliot talks, it makes it go down. When you take a blue chew, well, I'm just being honest. You know, if you're trying to romance your lady, the thing you're not going to turn on is Tuesdays with Elliot.
It's worse.
You're gonna chew on a blue chew. It's like, it's not a pill, it's a chewable, which is great. Ike, I don't know if you've heard, it's the same active ingredients as Viagra, Cialis, Levitra, and Staxin. Did you hear that?
Oh, I did.
And, you know, you don't have to go to the doctor. You know, there's no doctor's appointments necessary.
No lines.
Now, they have medical professionals, but you just do it all at bluechew.com. Yeah, you don't have to go to the pharmacy. Nope. They're going to send it to you in the mail, in your mailbox, in a discreet and
hard.
Wow, this guy's
one
off.
Day
one day off. Yeah.
One day, he doesn't say
that'd be very rude, Taylor.
Yeah. And they keep the cost down by making and shipping it themselves here in the USA.
No tariffs.
Speaking of cost.
Yes.
Jack himself is going to pay for your first month.
Yep.
Your first month is free thanks to Jack. Jack's on. Just go to bluechew.com. Use code 94. Your first month is free. Jack pays for it. He won't pay for the shipping. You have to pay that. It's like $5.
Yeah, not
first month free. Bluechew.com. Use code 94, and then you can
chew it and do it.
Chew it, do it. Chew it, do it. Chew it, do it. Chew it, do it. Chew it, do it.
The thing I love about you, Elliot, is you always come with something that we're not expecting that turns the show over. Here is why you would recommend that a team hire Kevin Petullo. Yeah. As their head coach, even though you didn't want to hire him as offensive coordinator for
jobs.
The Eagles.
The thing I want in the coordinator is someone that can bring a counterpunch to what the Eagles already run. Now, a head coach, like if the Giants called me and said, why should we hire Kevin Petullo? My argument would be, A, he's been around the Eagles for five years. So he's learned how a good organization is run. He's seen it, all those things. Two, he's been Nick's right-hand man. He's helped build the offense. He's helped build the culture. And he does have some experience on game day and being involved in the play calling. And three, I do think he has a head coach personality. Like, I didn't think Shane Steichen or Kellen Moore had head coach personalities. And we'll see if Kellen Moore is successful. I think I've been proven somewhat right about Shane Steichen. It's not been great down there. But I think Petullo is a watered-down version of Nick in a way. And so I think the experience of being with the Eagles and all that, I think he would be a good head coach. But as a coordinator, I think because him and Nick are so close and have had the same ideas, I am worried that they're not going to have an idea for a counterpunch. Where I, that's where
but
I
the offense has been so good, as you say.
It is, but we've also seen that when you go to the Super Bowl and the rest of the league spends all year studying you, you have to have a counterpunch. And in 2023, I thought they did not look great against something as simple as the blitz. So I think a lot of that was Jalen. I think Jalen should have been better against the blitz, but it's also up to the coaches to teach him how to be better against the blitz. So with Petullo, I would have preferred for somebody else to come in, a fresh set of eyes, a fresh set of ideas, even if it's only 10% of the offense, just to be here and be ready with new things if they need it.
It is, you know, the all eyes will be on him, I think.
For sure. If
the,
oh, and Nick.
Yeah, and Nick. If the offense struggles out of the gate, it'll be Jalen, Nick, and Kevin Petullo who are...
I don't think it will be Jalen. I'm not saying opinion or not. I'm saying, like, we were here in 23. Brian Johnson caught all the heat publicly.
Okay.
And I think because of Jalen coming off of, wherever you want to define it, good year, great year, whatever, Petullo's the new piece in this. So I think if they struggle, whether it is Jalen or not... My guess is publicly you'll hear a lot more Petullo than you will Jalen. Ike seems skeptical.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Yeah, well.
Because it depends on the devil's in the details, right?
Yeah. So for sure, yeah.
Are these bad throws, these overthrows? Like when we talk about the offense struggling, are we talking about missed throws or are we talking about play designs?
Yeah, are we talking about not scheming them open? You know,
yeah.
You know,
Jalen
we're good
actually,
for that.
You should have to scheme A.J. Yeah. Brown and Devontae Smith open.
I agree. Now, we've spent all offseason debating how good Jalen is. So maybe he doesn't have that built-in kind of clout and rope that I'm thinking he does. But the point I'm making is he just won Super Bowl MVP. You would think the new guy would catch more heat. But you are right. We'll see how it plays out.
Yeah.
Well, the one thing that I've decided that if I could pick one thing for Hurts to be better at this year, it is the sack rate is when you try to match up how good an offense is with sack rate.
Coordinate
is the wrong
correlate?
Word. Correlate. When you correlate sack rate to offense, there's not a lot of top quarterbacks who have a high sack rate. He was 30th or 31st in sack rate of starting QBs last year. Like, it is... The even if he just throws the ball away, right. the amount of yards that they give away, the amount of the defensive positioning that they give away, like all of those things, if forget about passing yards and those sorts of things, if he was able to clean up one thing, the sack thing is his biggest issue, I think. And it is the one thing that if he cleaned up would give the offense a lot better chance of succeeding this year.
I agree. That's why, you know, I heard you guys talking a little bit about the athletic list. Like, I would have him higher than 9, but I can understand why he's viewed as a tier 2 and not a tier 1, because he does have holes in his game that he needs to fix, and he does probably need to be more consistent. Now, where I've always argued is the resume is why I think he belongs higher, but in terms of just evaluating his game, you're right. Like, I think he holds onto the ball too long. I think he can be a little bit trigger shy with getting rid of the ball. Now, I'm okay with that, because as long as he doesn't turn the ball over, I'm happy, but you are right that it does make the passing game struggle to get in a rhythm when the ball's not consistently coming out on time.
Well, what, just for perspective, Josh Allen, I think, was sacked 13 times last year.
All year.
Is that a real...
It's
wow.
13 or 15.
All year.
Like, when you think about it's like a stunning...
Well, what's crazy is Jalen is a good athlete. It's not like he's a statue back there where you're saying, okay, the pressure gets there.
No, we see those sacks. It's him holding
it's him
on to...
It's him running around.
Agreed. Yeah, we see him.
So one thing that I think you'd be very good on,
thank you,
Elliot, is the big announcement that is coming on the New Heights podcast.
Oh, it's my entire feed. Yeah, I'm ready.
The new Taylor Swift album.
Yes.
Now, you are a Swiftie.
I am a Swiftie.
And with Howard gone, you are the resident Swiftie here at WIP, as he was the resident Swiftie.
Yes.
Are you excited about the new album? How do you feel about her announcing it on New Heights?
So I think it's really cool that she's doing it on his pod. I would also like to say, when they first started dating, I said I thought they were in true love. And everybody said, no, this is just for publicity. I was obviously proven correct about that. They are obviously in true love. So I was right. And I think when I was... And when you
take
look,
your victory lap, boy.
I am. I got to take them when I can get them.
Yeah,
this is the weirdest victory lap of all time.
They obviously are. You look at pictures of them together, videos.
We all agree. They're in love. Yes.
They are.
They're in love.
Right. So I think her doing it on his podcast is super cool. I was talking to Ike during the break. I don't really like new music. It's hard for me to sit through a new album just because I like to listen to what I like to listen to.
Sure.
But obviously, I'm very excited for it. I think Sabrina Carpenter might be featured on her new single, the first one. So.
Wow.
I like Sabrina Carpenter.
How are you a Sabrina Carpenter guy and an Olivia Rodrigo guy? You got to be one or the other.
So I was Olivia Rodrigo, and then I turned to Sabrina.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I will tell you this. The thing that I got from that is anyone hoping for a Travis Kelce comeback year?
The real truth, why would he care as much?
He's the most retired playing guy I ever saw in my entire life. Yeah. Like this is... It's too much nonsense. It's too much nonsense for a team that just lost in the Super Bowl is trying to regain their crown. I'm sorry. I know this sounds hot takey, but it's just like, what is this guy concentrating on? Here's the thing. If she was like a budding artist that he was trying to give a platform to, she is the biggest recording artist of the last 30 years.
Yeah, she's a way bigger star than him.
Yes, this is bigger for the New Heights podcast than it is for Taylor Swift.
I mean, I don't know how many people have done more for the NFL than Taylor Swift over the past 3 years.
There it is.
When you consider she's basically the
David Stern of the NFL.
All the new eyeballs she brings to the sport. I mean, I'm open to suggestions, but who would you come up with?
Well, Roger Goodell.
But those people work for the league. I don't think Roger Goodell's done more for the NFL than Taylor Swift.
Oh, sure, he has.
What's his big innovation?
I'll tell you what, you ask all 32 owners in the NFL who has done more for them, and they will tell you the guy that has made them rich beyond their wildest dreams.
I don't think Taylor Swift has made them
probably anymore. Roger Goodell.
Guess what? Me, you, Jack, or Ike could make them rich beyond their wildest dreams in Goodell's room. It is hard. I'm not completely.
It's harder than you think it is.
But I think Taylor going to those games has created a ton of conversation that wouldn't be there otherwise.
Who's done more for the NFL, Roger Goodell or Taylor Swift?
Don't put my name in it so we can get a fair.
Well, did you see the one quote? So I guess Travis Kelce's in GQ. He's the face of GQ this month as well.
Good.
And he said that...
Cole Kelce.
Yeah, he said that this has turned Taylor Swift into a football fan. But I was told...
That she was already an Eagles
fan.
She's
been bleeding green for 33 years or
whatever. I'm okay with her rooting for the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Duh.
Yeah.
I think that's what you got to do.
Yeah.
It's your significant other.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Are we going to get wedding bells?
Oh, definitely.
Once he retires.
100%.
Yeah, after this.
Wedding bells?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think anyone from WIP gets invited?
No.
Well, Jason works here, kind of.
Yeah. Jason doesn't count.
I hope he does get wedding bells.
Oh, of course. He's going to get wedding bells. Do you think any of his teammates will be at his wedding?
Oh.
All right. You can get the Go Birds podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, it's already one about practice up.
There you go.
Of his throws broken down one by one.
And here's what I'd say. If you were ever going to subscribe to the Go Birds podcast, right as the joint practices are happening, which are featuring Shador Sanders.
Yes, I'm very excited.
I think you need to focus on Shador.
I'm going to track Shador's stats the best I can. I obviously have to watch
Eagles Jalen, fans care about Shador?
Everybody cares about Shador. Yeah. He was almost an Eagle.
Lights up the defense?
He was almost an Eagle.
He's kind of almost an Eagle.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Ellie. 215-592-9494. High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report is next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.